To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
And you're listening to CGLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, the show about comics. Oh my god, that sounds terrible. Hello? Is that better? Yeah, okay, I'm far away. That sounds way better. Anyways, no, that doesn't sound any better. Whatever. We're talking about Batman today. I was supposed to have two co-hosts who didn't show up. I'm going to assume that's my fault for not reminding them, even though we made these plans a while ago and it was marked down in my calendar. I don't know what happened to their calendars. Today we're going to be talking about the quote unquote death of Batman. Now, this is a show that I kind of wanted to do, but not really. And the fact that my co-hosts are not here helping me out with it, it makes it even more difficult. But, I have to say it was a very interesting week for me. I got to read some Batman comics on the internet. That was the first time. I really enjoyed the little way you like read it. It's this thing, this program called Comic Book Reader or something. I don't know. I forget what it's called. Comic Display. And it's got a cute little icon in a cartoon box. And anyways, the thing is, it's really neat is when you go down, you pan down, and actually if it's like a bigger paneled thing when you're looking at it, it'll pan to the right and then it'll pan up a bit. Now, it's cool initially. It looks cool. But the problem with that is that it doesn't follow the sequence of the way you're supposed to read it. So you go to the bottom, then you go all the way to the top and keep reading, right? And if it's a big splash page, still, usually it's you go to the bottom and you go to the top. But when they've done it this way, it's like you're reading along the bottom and then you go up to the top, which really breaks up the continuity, and I don't really like that very much. But whatever. I mean, it's free, so you can't really complain. Yay, comic books on the internet. Now I don't have to buy these silly Death of Batman comics. Jesus. I got good music today, I swear. So basically Batman died. Did you know that? Neither did I. And I'm like a year and a half behind on all the superhero stuff. And so I'm just starting to catch up. And I'm finding that a lot of the superhero stuff, I'm not missing much. I'm really not. It's disappointing, to say the least. But I was looking forward to reading these Death of Batman's issues because they're written by Grant Morrison. And, you know, my love for Grant Morrison goes way back. I even had a Vespa in Vancouver that I named after Grant because he did an excellent comic. The first comic I ever read by him was Kill Your Boyfriend. And it was like this wonderful, cutely illustrated by Philip Bond comic where it was like this private school girl, and she was totally like trying to break off the shackles of her Catholic upbringing, and she meets this guy who basically tells her to kill her boyfriend and teaches her to kind of, you know, get out there and do things and not be so caught up in the sort of class structure, doing good in school milieu that she's been sort of forced into. Of course, it kind of spirals out of control halfway through the comic, and, you know, horrible things happen, and then they end up in a giant shootout and a big tower and da da da. But Kill Your Boyfriend is an amazing comic by Grant Morrison. And to find out that it's not like a big surprise I knew he was writing Batman, because he has been writing superhero comics for a while. Like, he did an amazing run on JLA that I totally loved, where it was like Batman had a contingency plan for all the people in JLA should they ever go crazy, and then Ra's al Ghul got his hands on it, and then he started like destroying the heroes one by one, and Batman had to figure out what was going on. And, you know, and there's Batman crossovers that I enjoy that are like, you know, I really like Gang War, where it was like all of Gotham was cut off from the rest of the world after an earthquake, and it was just like chaos. And then, you know, the whole gang war thing was all the gangs were fighting each other for the property, like the ownership of Gotham, to see who would become like the head leader of whatever. But this Batman, rest in peace, was just, I don't know, there was something lacking. It was, it just wasn't as good as I wanted it to be, I guess. I don't know. Like, I mean, I can understand, like, because initially when I read it, I was just kind of like, what is Grant Morrison trying to accomplish here? Because if you know anything about Grant Morrison, a lot of his ideals are a hell of a lot more loftier than most of the comic book writers out there. He's got some really crazy stuff going on. Like, he considers himself to be a magician, and he says he's been practicing for since he was 19. And, you know, I was just trying to figure that out when I was reading the comic, and it's, at first I thought he was slumming, you know, like I was like, Jesus, Grant, what's going on here? But then I, you know, after I read more and I saw what he was trying to accomplish, and I read a few interviews with him, and I mean, basically the initial premise was the fact that he just wanted to kill Batman. He just wanted to do it, and he wanted to see how he could do it and what it would take to get it done. And over time, like, you know, he's been writing these Batman comics, and he's been writing for DC for about four or five years now. And so, like, little things that had shown up at the beginning of his run all culminate to this Batman RIP. So Batman RIP started, I would say probably a couple months, no, more than a couple, probably about 5 months ago, 6 months ago. And basically, I can't really tell you the premise of it because I kind of came at it late. So, I mean, to me, it seems like everybody knew he was going to die. So I don't really understand what the big hype was about it. But I mean, of course, obviously I'm reading about it after the fact, so that might just be that. But one of the things is, first of all, Batman's looking very Tom Cruise these days. And which makes me kind of wonder about the whole Batman's going crazy and losing his mind thing. This is the, you know, prior to Batman's death, he goes crazy. And so I'm like, what's the link here? He looks like Tom Cruise. He's going to go crazy. Is there a link? And then Joker shows up and he looks totally like he walked out of an Alexander McQueen runway. He's like totally metrosexual in this giant like super jacket. And yeah, Joker's kind of changed a bit. There's other things that were happening too. Like there was this woman who was suddenly Batman's new girlfriend, and she knew all about him, the fact that he was Batman and that he was Bruce Wayne. Batman has a kid now named Damian through Talia. And he wants to be Batman's sidekick. So he like tries to take out Robin. Like these are all things that are leading up to the big climax of Batman RIP, rest in peace. But basically what the premise was, is that there was this group called the Black Glove, and they're, I mean, again, this is Grant Morrison. They're sort of this Illuminati group, and Morrison's totally, you know, infatuated with this stuff. But the thing is they were like clowns. Again, I'm just, like, I'm reading this stuff, and I really don't know how to take it. I'm like, Grant, are you just, like, being a smartass here, or what? Because, okay, there's the Luchadore clown, there's the Pierrot clown, there's the sort of Caligula clown, and then the girl clown, she's not even a clown, I called her boobilicious, because she was like in a little bikini one piece thing with boobs everywhere. She had like this bizarre hat that looked like penises jutting out of her head. I mean, again, Grant Morrison, are you being a smartass here? Like, I can understand you wanting to take it seriously and also being silly, but every so often, it's like his bizarro absurdity pops through. And that's what I think this girl is, one of those things. Now, basically, these Illuminati clown people they had a personal vendetta against Batman, specifically one of them, which was the leader, Dr. Hurt or Hunt, I can't remember. But the thing is that the bottom line of what they were trying to accomplish with the downfall of Batman was to also show Joker their appreciation for his performance and how his murdering sprees were like works of art, and them as performers accoladed what he did, and they got him out of jail to help him become a part of their grand performance of destroying Batman's mind. So like, it gets sillier and sillier. You think I'm joking, but I'm not. Let's see, what else? The thing that I found that bothered me the most about this story arc is the fact that it was really predictable. I mean, the woman who is his girlfriend, her name is Jezebel, and she has long red hair. Will she bring about his downfall? I don't know. I called it with, like, the first reading of her name. Like, and yeah, she did. She totally brings about his downfall. Why? I don't know. Like, she doesn't really explain why she's got it in for Bruce Wayne Batman, but at one point she's yelling at him like, you'll never trust another woman again, and she's all proud of herself because she brought about this, you know, break of trust amongst women. And that's the other thing, like, they make such a big deal of Batwoman and how, like, you know, Batman was so traumatized by her death. And this is Batwoman from like the 60s. And I'm like, I don't remember this character being such a major part of Batman's life, like having so much impact. I mean, maybe it's because she's like his Gwen Stacy. She's like the only one that fought crime with him, because Catwoman did on and off, but she's the only one that died because of him. Da 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 da. Like all this, you know, heavy duty, just like Spider-Man stuff. Anyways, the other thing I didn't like is it was really trite. And, like, you know, like the fact that there's like this big invitation to invite him to the big black ball masquerade. And we're, and of course, this is just as he's investigating the black glove people. And it's just, I mean, like, Grant is capable of much better writing. And I don't know, like, I can see the teeny tiny skinny little threads of what he's trying to accomplish. And when you read Final Crisis, which I of course did to get the conclusion of the whole Batman death saga, I can see where he's going, and I can see the actual Grant Morrison in power there in play. And I'll explain it further. But when I was reading Batman RIP, I was just like, Grant, come on. Grant, come on. But anyways, that's, you know, that's just me. That's just me. To each his own. Everybody, I mean, I really wish that my two co-hosts were here, because I'd really like to know their opinions on it. I was really looking forward to talking to them about this, because, you know, I'm open-minded. I you know, I could see how some people would like this stuff. But at the same time, like, I've been away from it for a couple of years. And one of the reasons I got away from it, well, besides the fact that it cost so much money, but also because it just seemed like they were going down that path of 90s crap. I mean, Rob Liefeld is working in comics again? Come on. They're bringing back Darkseid and Mr. Sinister in the Marvel Universe. Like, it's all that crap that the 90s basically destroyed comics with is making a comeback, and I can't understand why. And it just seems like the quality of writing has really gone downhill. And especially, like I said, Grant Morrison has written good superhero comics. Like, his X-Men comics were amazing. And, you know, he did Seven Soldiers for DC, which was kind of like a preliminary to this Batman Final Crisis thing. And I just find that, you know, he was way more subversive in the past. He had, his X-Men were a lot more interesting. There was more stuff going on, and it just wasn't so cut and dry, in your face, blobbity blobbity blah, drama cheese, Batman almost dies. Anyways, we're going to go to some music, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about Grant Morrison and the whole how Batman dies, why he dies, da da da. I hope I'm not ruining anything for you. I mean, I'm not going to get in any stuff that's not already been published. So if you haven't read about Batman dying, Batman RIP, or Final Crisis, then you probably shouldn't listen to the show yet. Maybe listen to it next week when you get it. But anyways, you're listening to CGLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, where we are talking about all graphic arts all the time. And right now we're talking about Batman RIP. And we're going to go to some music. This is Captain Chaos. I found this song online and I totally love it. It's called Batman Sucks, and it cracks me right up. Again, Captain Chaos.
Batman Begins is so full of shit. Batman was not trained by ninjas. And if you know what it means to glide, then you know that it's not what it means to fly. Who would be trained so well at how to use a sword, but never use it again? Do they want us to believe that he forgot, or maybe he just lost it? It's so full of shit. It's so full of shit. But I don't like Batman anyway, 'cause he makes me think of sad, sad things. And I hope that the Joker kicks his ass someday and makes Robin dig his grave, and they take his toys away. I hope they take his toys away. Now you see, Wolverine, he's where it's at. He is such a sexy man. He is down to earth, he is working class, and he could kick Batman's ass. But I do like bats, just not that bad.
Let the rhythm hit him. Let the rhythm hit 'em every Tuesday from 10 to midnight on CJLO.com, 1690 AM, with your host, DJ Embedded, and Remission. Let the rhythm hit 'em.
And you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, the show about comics and all graphic arts all the time. And it also includes superheroes. And we were talking about the death of Batman. Bet you didn't know he died, eh? Yeah. We're all broken up about it here at the station. There's a funeral and everything. No, he didn't really die. He just disappeared for a while. Anyways, what I really wanted to talk about was Grant Morrison's writing, because the thing that blows my mind is, like, a lot of alternative people who got their start in various weird publications, they've kind of moved on to superheroes. I can think of a couple, like Ed Brubaker is a good example, and so is Grant Morrison now. But even though the story, the initial Batman RIP story, was a little cheesy, I'm being generous with a little there, I found that the Final Crisis stuff was a lot more interesting. Now, one of the things that was really interesting about Morrison... Okay, well, maybe I should just give you a synopsis of what happened. Basically, Batman, there's this group called the Black Glove, and they want to destroy Batman's mind from within. And basically, by destroying the character, the persona of Bruce Wayne, destroying Batman, and then Batman will be this hollow shell of a man who, you know, never fought crime and has no reason to live. The way that they did this is by, first of all, infiltrating Batman's life by way of a girlfriend by the name of Jezebel, who knew his secret and everything he told her. And initially, she appeared to be this real altruistic sort of fundraising chick. But one of the points in the book that really made me laugh and made me think that maybe Grant Morrison had a message for the fanboys was that at some point, Batman decides to bring Jezebel to the Bat Lair. And she, of course, is dressed like a total tranny hoe, or Mariah Carey, if you will. that's, you know, whenever I go to my boyfriend's superhero lair, I like to dress in high heels and tight shirts showing off my boobs. And then and whenever I invite my girlfriend to my superhero lair, I always like to wear my entire bat costume just to emphasize the point. Oh, it's so cheesy. Anyways, so she's wandering around and she's just like, look, you know, maybe you could move on. She's like, maybe, you know, all the money that you've spent on all this amazing technology to fight your war on crime could go towards, like, erasing a national deficit, you know? Maybe, you know, my father was murdered in front of my eyes and I didn't run out and become a superhero, you know? Like, and I thought that was kind of funny, but it sort of, to me, also spoke to all those, you know, 30, 40-year-old, 20-year-old fanboys, of which I am one, too, I can't deny, but it's, I know the difference between what I'm reading and what I'm not reading, what's quality and what's just pablum. And these people take a lot of their superhero comics very seriously. And it just seemed to me that Grant Morrison was telling them to move on, to let go of their totem slash icon character Batman, and just to move on and grow up a little and maybe, you know, get out there and take a look around. But the other thing that was cool about the writing is that you definitely saw a lot of Grant Morrison's passions as far as the way he decides to delve into people and sociology, what makes them tick. And I found with the writing of this Batman RIP, it seemed like he was trying to also break down the barriers of Batman and trying to find Batman's pure self. But the thing is it just gets so, I want to swear, it gets so cheesy, you know? Like, okay, so what ends up happening is this Black Glove is run by this guy, this Dr. Hunt, who put Batman, but he was part of this experiment that put Batman in this deprivation tank. And Batman decided to go into this tank to decide, like Bruce Wayne or whatever, decided to do this so that he could get away every last vestige of fear, so he would never be afraid of anything, period, the end. But while he was in there, he realized that he had all the space where the fear was, so he decided to put in an alternate personality just in case some guy decided to destroy his mind. So when they went about destroying his mind through drugs and hypnosis and trigger words and Manchurian Candidate some more, He still had this backup character, and it served him well while he was going crazy. But anyways, the thing that was also cheesy is the fact that everyone around him was kind of like, is Batman going crazy? Is Batman going crazy? And like, so that stupid woman, Jezebel, was like, they're too afraid to tell you, but I'm not because I love you. Don't you think maybe you're going crazy? And I'm like, you just became his girlfriend. It's a big leap to you fight crime to, oh my God, I think you're crazy. But anyways, the other thing, too, that cracks me up is the fact that she's kind of putting this Jezebel character in, like, equating, you know, Bruce Wayne's millions to helping third world countries. She's kind of trying to make him a realistic person with her dialogue in the sense that, you know, look, Batman, if you were really a real person in the real world, this would be considered totally ridiculous. But that's the thing. He's not a real person, and he's not in the real world. So does it have to be so bloody ridiculous? Anyways, the other thing that they did that I thought was totally silly was this Hunt character was apparently his father, not. There were all these throwaway red herrings, and I mean, I understand comics needs to have this so that it's exciting and interesting and da-da-da-da-da, but it's like, if you're going to do it, at least follow through on it. So, you know, apparently Alfred was Bruce's real father, and his mother and father were total crackheads, and da-da-da, like, but none of it was true, but they just kind of swept it under the rug. They're like, yeah, that's not true. Do-do-do-do. Next. But, like, for 3 or 4 issues, you totally thought it was true that Batman had this completely sordid past, and the death of his parents wasn't exactly what you thought it was, even though they rehashed it a zillion trillion times. The other thing is, it was already done. I mean, Spider-Man, it would just made me remember the time when you go through all of Spider-Man's life thinking that his parents are, you know, regular people who just died or whatever, and then suddenly in the 80s it was like, no, they were S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. Oh, okay. Anyways, the other thing is, suddenly Grant Morrison has a penchant for using the strangest onomatopoeia. I counted 4, 6, 7 different types of H words. Like humph, H-N-H, huff, H-U-F-F, hm, H-N-N-N, H-H, heh, H-E-H, hut, H-U-T-T, and hen-hen-hen, H-N-H-N-H-N. I'm like, are you just phoning it in? Seriously, it's never been so obvious to me before when people, like, I don't know, like, what's he trying to do? Is this some, like, magical spell that requires these sounds? Like, da, Grant Morrison, What's going on? Anyways, so there you have it. His mind was broken. Poor Bruce Wayne. And Bruce Wayne is, I guess, technically dead now because that persona has been trashed. But then he shows up in Final Crisis, which is kind of confusing too, if you really want to know the truth of it. Like, oh man, comics. Marvel's no better. You know, I really honestly got to say, sometimes Marvel is absolutely no better. But that's why I don't really spend a lot of time on these kind of comic books, because they get really silly. They get totally, totally silly. And then, you know, while I was reading it, I discovered that Batman has a son with Talia, and she's running around bragging about the fact that she's the daughter of a criminal mastermind so she can help Batman. And there's just all this silly, silly stuff. I mean, and yeah, the whole thing of how, like, Bruce Wayne, like, when you get rid of Bruce Wayne, the demon of Batman comes out, the monster. And I'm like, okay, DC, you already have a character like that. His name is Demon. And when you get rid of Jason Blood, you have the demon. And they even had a line, and it was like, when you get rid of Bruce Wayne, this is what you get. Anyways, some of the ideas I thought were kind of interesting. Like, at one point, Batmite mentions that imagination is the fifth dimension. But then again, didn't Alan Moore explore that with Promethea? I don't know. So we're going to get into the Final Crisis in a few minutes, but I wanted to do some news before we did that. And oh, yeah, definitely before we continue. And this is the other thing. This is why I really wanted my co-hosts to be here today, because it's going to basically come down to me just kind of shooting down this Batman comic, and I don't really like that. I don't really think that's what my radio show's about, and, you know, when you get someone like Tony Daniels to illustrate this Batman story, I can't help myself, okay? You're dealing, like, Tony Daniels was a 90s Mark Silvestri hack. Like, I don't even know how he's managed to evolve to becoming this mega DC artist. He does these static poses of Batman with gigantuan muscles a la Rob Liefeld. And then, you know, there was even one point where Batman shows up as Zur-En-Arrh, which is his alternate personality now that he is no longer Bruce Wayne. And it's a total Spawn cape splash page, like, from Todd McFarlane. I don't understand. I don't understand. But at least, you know, I will be honest with you, DC does have once in a blue moon some great comics. And to be fair, Grant Morrison's Seven Soldier series was mind-blowingly awesome. Like, the artists were fantastic, and the writing was so interesting and so varied that I would recommend that before I'd ever recommend Batman RIP. Anyways, let's get to some more music, and then we'll do some news, because a lot of really wicked, awesome stuff is happening in the comic book world. Not only that, a lot of really awesome, wicked stuff happened in the comic book world. So what I played for you before was Captain Chaos doing Batman Sucks, which really cracked me up, because it was like, you know, Batman wasn't trained by ninjas, and Wolverine's better, which makes me laugh. After that, we played Sun Ra, was singing I'm Going to Unmask Batman. He has, like, a whole album of Batman tracks where it's, like, Batman and Robin running from the rooftops. And so I was really surprised. I had no idea Sun Ra was into Batman. Next, we're going to play some Snoop Dogg. And it literally is a Batman and Robin song. So, I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. Anyways, you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, where we talk about all graphic arts all the time. In this hour, it's Batman. Here's Snoop.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
No one can save the day like Batman. Robin will make you sway. No one can save the day like Batman.
Commissioner X here. Batman and Robin, we have a bit of a problem. There's trouble ruining Gotham City. You must act fast.
Holy mackerel, Batman. I think these clowns need a backhand. Let's be the Gap Man. Drop the bomb on them and make them scat, man.
When you say scat, man, like a brother corrupt. Uh-huh. When it's on, it's cold, so bring the core in the cover.
We can take it to the basement. Live with Tigger. Go get the Riddler. But watch me play that nigga like the Fiddler. On a hot tin roof, I got them watching who? She who spits it like she was sipping rotten brew.
We marvel at you comics. You ain't no superhero.
You're just a stupid zero. You ain't hard like the Nero.
Surprise. The dynamic duo, Batman and Robin, get set for squabbing. Splat, hit him like 45 shit. bills. Plaque means more than 1 million sales. That snuff shot to lick, you get done up. Plus, we got the back gas, so why would you run up?
When I spit, I split, turn Harvey Dent into Two-Face Robin. I'm more than a sidekick, they're more like the liveest. They wanna go head up and collide in like collision. Hope your mom's made provision. See, you ain't got no wins, baby, not even a smidgen. Mad hostility dealt, now I'ma really be felt. Switch on my utility belt, make your facility melt. I go mad on your head, I watch your whole shit splatter. Get wicked on your case like Detective Van Adder. So the same goes, if you snooze, you lose. Trust you do, me and Batman, the dynamic tool.
Save the day like Batman. Robin will make you sway like Batman. Beat for beat, rhyme for rhyme. Deep in Gotham, fight for crime. No one can save the day like Batman.
Cold day in Gotham in the back cage, chilling. Catnip a cat woman, so she caught the feeling. Talk about flavor for a Kringle. A favor for a favor, maybe later we can mingle. Damn, just then the bat phone ring. They who banging in Gotham, I got to do my thing.
Batman, war is on the brink. It seems that the Penguin is causing the stink. Call up Robin quick, you know what to do. Add dye to the water and splash the town blue.
Shit, I'm there in a flash, Batmobile on threes. Trust me, buddy, got heat for Mr. Freeze. And Clayface will catch the embrace of napalm when I drop my bat bomb. And don't you forget it, taking out you suckers, and you don't know how I did, how I did.
No one can save the day like Batman. Robin will make you sway like Batman. Beat for beat, rhyme for rhyme. Deep in Gotham, fight for crime. No one can save the day.
Yo, kick back, Robin. Hit Alfred and tell him to have the barbecue buffalo wings and a pitcher of Kool-Aid on chill. It's about to get real in the field.
Leaping lolos over there, Batman. That's a no-no. That's how I'm just
Yeah. Systems engage. Start the bat engine. Hit the bat switches. You ready, Robin? Let's dip.
Let's dip. Holy hood rat Sally smoking crack in the alley. Let's dip. I mean, crazy kinfolk in Keysville, Batman. Shit that come with it, and potatoes on top of gravy in the middle. God damn it, Batman, Batman.
And you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, where we talk about all graphic arts all the time. And you heard correctly, we are talking about Batman. That was Snoop Dogg and some other people talking about Batman and Robin. I really dig that song, mostly because they are literally talking about Batman, and it cracks me up. I was going to play some music from the two Batman soundtracks that I have. I have, like, the Batman Begins soundtrack, the cartoon, you know, and it's got some neat stuff. And I really love that Batman Begins cartoon a lot, because it's just kind of like the angst of Spider-Man with the coolness of Batman. So, I mean, you know, but we're not talking about Batman cartoons. I wish we were, because I love Batman cartoons, but we talked about cartoons last week, so we all know how much I love cartoons. Also, what was I gonna say? Oh, news. Let's do some news. Enough about Batman for now. Let's see. One of the things I read online that I thought was so cool was that Moncton has a comic book jam, like a lot of little cities in the Canadas like Vancouver has one and Montreal has one. But one of the things that I thought was really excellent for an idea is that their jam is kid-friendly from 7 to 9 o'clock. And then after 9 o'clock, it all goes to hell. But, I mean, I think that's a really innovative idea, and I really think that our comics jams should have that idea too, because it's kind of like fostering youngins and getting them into comics while they're young. I mean, I do that as an educator at daycares, so I really honestly think that that's a great idea. Kid-friendly comic jam from 7 to 9. It's not so hard. Just got to watch your language around those little guys. And, you know, people say it's a hard thing to do, but it's not. I'm here on the radio. I'm watching my language. I work in the daycares. I'm watching my language. The only time it's bad is when I'm talking to my friends on the phone and I'm at the daycare, because then I'm, like, talking to friends. It's okay. But, I mean, we've all had mothers, and we've all learned not to swear around our mothers. We can handle it. Anyways, what else? Comics and Cartooning Workshop for Adults, Winter and Spring Sessions, Sunday nights from March 15th, 22nd, 29th, and April 5th from 6:15 to 8:15. This is put on by Drawn and Quarterly. It only costs $70 for all of those dates. That's one, two, three, four dates, a month of work. And the fee covers supplies. So what it is participants will explore history, ideas, and technique in this hands-on workshop. Through a series of projects, basic comic art methodology will be applied, such as development of ideas and narrative, panel and page composition, drawing fundamentals, and more. Creativity and freedom of expression and originality are key components of this workshop, encouraging each participant to develop their own unique style and interpretation of comic art, which I think is awesome. Everybody should be doing and going to this if they can afford it. The instructor is Howard Chakowitz, who has been a professional artist for 20 years and has had his comic art and illustrations published in an exhibit internationally. His newest book, Howie Action Comics, was released last year for Conundrum Press. Howard is awesome. I'm totally using that word awesome far too much. Okay, I'll stop. But the thing that I love about Howard is that he's my go-to guy when I want to talk about Marvel nerd stuff. We really go on about nerd stuff. When we get together, we talk about superhero stuff. And I don't get together with Howard very often, but when I do, it's always a pleasure. So, I mean, as someone who is not an artist, if I had any kind of artistic like skills, I would totally put down the $70 and go get lessons from Howie. Anyways, if you want to reserve a spot for the course, stop by the Drawn and Quarterly store on Bernard during opening hours and drop off your registration deposit, which is $40. Or you can go and email somebody called Rory at drawnandquarterly.com, or even just call them. It's really easy. Just go Drawn and Quarterly. Google it. It's so easy. Just do it. Go. You know you want to be a comic book artist. You know it. Let's see what else. Lynn Johnston tries her hands at kid books. Did you know that? I'm excited because I love Lynn Johnston. She is the creator behind For Better or Worse. And of course, when she sits down to do a kid's book, she's totally geniusly smart about who she's going to exploit, which is, of course, Farley, the one who died in 95, who everybody cries about, and even me. I mean, sometimes when I read that strip, if that strip sneaks up on me, I'll start bawling my eyes out. Farley was an important part of that comic. Anyways, this picture book starring Farley, and it will be published by HarperCollins. Interestingly enough, it was co-written by Beth Krushak, who is Johnston's sister-in-law and longtime collaborator. Now, recently, I've got onto Facebook and discovered something that I think is the wave of the future. It's called a Facebook Comic Convention, and if you're curious to know what I'm talking about and you're near your computer, just go to Facebook and look up Facebook Comic Convention. And what it is a virtual reality comic book convention. Isn't that friggin' amazing? So, like, there's already 2,247 people or something registered, and these are all like creators and artists and illustrators and people that have to do with comics. These are not fanboys, right? Like, this is people. And so you can basically kind of just hang out and shop around like you're at a convention and see what everybody offers. And there's already Sal Good Sam has offered some of his comic to download for free online. And I think it's a really, really amazing idea, this Facebook Comic Con virtual reality comic book convention. I mean, how much cooler can you get? Anyways, also yesterday I went to En Masse, and that was at Gallery Panji on St. Paul, and it was totally amazing. That was my Nuit Blanche thing that I did. And it had Omen and Rupert Bottenberg and some guy named Rage 5 and Lisa Check and Mariana Hardy and Monument and Dork and Turf One. And there was basically 28 artists in all. And it was one giant room. Like, it was a huge room. Like, you could cram, like, at least 50 people in here. And trust me, it was crammed. I didn't show up till, like, 1 in the morning. And, yeah, I was just like, whoa. And they basically had these giant, huge pieces of paper. Like, when I say giant, I mean, like, the size of half a bus. And, okay, maybe a quarter of a bus. And there were, like, two of them up and bottom and top. And then there was, like, and they were all around the walls, and everybody used black ink, and it was beautiful, like brush strokes, and it looked some like people use Sharpie, and there was stamp work done. Like, it was amazing. Anyway, so I took some notes, and it's total stream of conscious, so I hope you don't mind, but basically it'll give you the gist of it, because it is a cramming of million art styles together with ideas and goofiness and cuteness and darkness and swellness. Anyway, so here we go. Love the girl who does the 70s rock girls with the big lips. Sort of Fiona Smythe. Think she did a poster for the American Devices? Who the hell did all these manga cuties? Actual scenes. Hidden animals in cities. Photo head graffiti. Super iconics. Highly stylized. Tags. Designs. Images. Hyper detail and octopus tentacles. Uses the corners in the art. Create patterns with stamps. Omen. Escher face lines. Beautiful lush strokes and curves. Drippings of ink incorporated into the art. Heavy realism. Black darkness with cute cartoony characters. Whimsical repetitions, but something new with each viewing. Where's Rupert? I wonder if he did the Tribal Weird Men. So, a lot of them didn't sign their work, but I mean, you just kind of have to recognize what they did. And I like, go, I don't know how long this is going on for. I promoted it last week, but I highly recommend going. It's just mind boggling. And it's, you know, it's Montreal, man. They don't have this kind of stuff in Vancouver. It blows my mind. Also, I went to the Yves Laroche Gallery, which is totally radical, too. That's also on St. Paul and not too far from Panji, so I highly recommend going to that. That was one of the first galleries I went to when I moved here, and they had original Dave Cooper art, so they will always have a soft spot in my heart. Plus, they have toys in there, which I think is so neat. I love toys, especially toys done by artists. So anyways, yeah, Yves Laroche Gallery and the Gallery Panji for Unmasked. Go, go, go. And reason number 57 why I love Montreal. For $5 for the next 3 Mondays at Theatre St. Catharines from 7 to 12, you can go and listen to Kid Koala goof around on the turntables while you draw. It's called Music to Draw To, and it includes a hot chocolate with your entrance fee, and it's a haven for all the artists who are cooped up over the winter months and are wanting a place to chill out for a few hours and draw with good tunes and good food. Anyways, it sounds so cool, and I'm totally going to be there. Maybe I'll get an interview out of it. Who knows? We'll see. It'll be good. But I highly recommend. I mean, I don't even know what it's going to be like. I just know that it's going to be awesome. And I totally need a new adjective besides awesome. Let's see, did you know? Did you know there's a Spider-Man musical on its way? Yes, literally a Broadway musical. For those of you who watch the Oscars, the musical is back. But of course, that usually happens when there's a depression. So they've done a Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark Broadway musical. It's going to kick off on February 18th, 2010. And it's directed by Julie Taymor, which is kind of depressing because I really like her. She did the Frida Kahlo movie, and she's a really interesting director. So, I mean, I guess her stage stuff will be interesting. But Bono and The Edge are going to do all the music. Oh, God. It's so funny. Now, the other thing is I've got the internet recently, so I've been able to check things out online more and do research and all that great stuff. And I've been watching a lot of previews. So one of the first previews I saw was for Transformer 2. Transformers 2 looks way more violent than Transformers 1. So that'll be kind of interesting. Saw the preview for Star Trek, the new movie. Okay, they're totally making Star Trek hot with a capital H-A-W-T. It's like the guys are so young, Kirk and Spock. And it starts from when they're little kids. So that's pretty cool. And I got all excited because I saw Simon Pegg. So he's like hot to me. And so yeah, I think the new Star Trek movie looks pretty good. And plus it's done by J.J. Abrams. And I like the Lost series, so it'll probably be pretty good. Anyways, I'm really worried out about Watchmen. I like, you know, initially I was excited about it. Now I'm not so excited about it because, all the promo for it is giving away the ending. And I'm kind of confused because I kind of thought that this Watchmen movie was supposed to appeal to people that didn't read the comic. And why are they giving away the ending in the poster ads? Like, I mean, admittedly, I can't really say much because I haven't seen it yet. But I will be seeing it as soon as possible. And I will be talking about it, of course, obviously. And, yeah, but I'm sort of not into it anymore. is it just going to be a, I don't know. And then the last one I saw was G.I. Joe. Like, holy cow. And it's like hardcore hua. They're like, they've made the G.I. Joe group more legitimate. They're like these sort of black ops group that goes in and rescues people. And it's not as cheesy as the actual cartoon. And trust me, as a child of a military family, I've watched a lot of G.I. Joe. My brothers and I have, in fact, played live-action G.I. Joe games when we were children in Germany. So it's kind of neat to see, like, this G.I. Joe movie making it look all hardcore and realistic. So my real question is, you've got Transformers, you've got G.I. Joe, you've got Star Trek, you've got all these things. When the hell are we going to get a Gem in the Holograms movie starring Gwen Stefani as Gem? That is like my goal. I mean, I seriously need to get together a website or something for that. Oh my God, I'm totally wasting time with news. We got to hurry up and get on to Final Crisis. Anyways, I'm going to play one more track, a couple more tracks. But, oh man, we're so out of time. My news was too long. I'm sorry. But I guess you guys do want to hear more about Batman, so I will talk about it. But I still think there should be a Gem in the Holograms movie. Urgh. That's me hulking out over Gem and the Holograms. Anyways, I'm going to go to these another track, and you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the show about comics, all graphic arts, all the time, and we're talking about Batman and his death, and we're going to get to some music starting right now.
Sergeant Soy. Chugga chugga.
Yeah.
Yo, man, can you believe this crap? We used to have all ages shows. Now Batman comes to town and shuts down.
He only remembers his roots.
He shuts down our whole scene now, man.
Shuts it all down. Doesn't even represent the city.
You know what, Batman? You're a dead man.
Dead man, Batman.
You're dead.
Hardcore's back in Gotham City. Yeah! The Dark Knight!
The Subplot, 9 to 10 a.m. on Friday mornings.
You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, where it's all graphic arts all the time. And we're running out of time. That was the International Superheroes of Hardcore. And the song was Batman is a Dead Man. And that's actually what we're talking about, is the fact that he died. I didn't like the Batman RIP stuff. It was just cheesy, and that's the bottom line. And Tony Daniels, sorry, he can do better. Or maybe he can't. They can get better artists. And point in fact, I read the two last Final Crises, because that's where Batman really does die. And they had much better art. I mean, admittedly, J.G. Jones is damn slow, and he had to get Doug Mankey to take over. But Carlos Pacheco, Jesus Marino, all these guys are awesome, and especially Doug Mankey are great. And I'm sorry, I'm glad for the Final Crisis they got a good artist, because, boy, it makes a difference. It really makes a difference. And I actually got into it. So these comics are not for kids anymore. A lot of bad words bandied around in Final Crisis. And I, you know, it was not very clear what the heck was going on. Like, there was a lot of jumping around and a lot of crazy things. Wonder Woman has this bizarro mask. I guess that's the anti-life equation. And there was lots of little bits of bizarro Grant popping up. Like, oh my God, Captain Carrot. That was hilarious. there was neat things like a tube full of alternate Earths. There was, yeah, just lots of neat stuff that, like, freezing all of humanity to save them. The conclusion of the issue, it's weird. Like, they sum up by telling a bedtime story to a bunch of human kids that are left over. Like, it was, I don't understand why nobody made such a big deal about the death of Martian Manhunter. I was more upset about his death than Batman's death. Like, there's just so much stuff that I'm really surprised. But Final Crisis I did enjoy, because with Final Crisis, I finally saw where Grant Morrison was going with what he was trying to accomplish. And let me read to you something that I have from ages and ages ago. This is like September 2004. He did an interview, Grant Morrison, with Arthur Magazine, and they were saying to him, you know, did you see the news about the super strong German toddler? I was reminded where you were saying your run on X-Men was a set of fables for the coming mutant, which you thought might already exist and be on their way. So Grant says, I figured even within 50 years, we'll probably have quite a few superhumans on the planet. There's something about the Superman idea that's pushing itself closer and closer to reality, to the real-life material workday world that we can touch. The super characters began in pulps and then worked their way through comics, and they keep moving to more extensive mass media. Now it's everywhere, and it's become the common currency of culture. I said way back, almost joking, that I thought super people were really trying very hard to make their way off this sorry, skin of the second dimension to get here. Sorry, I'm not feeling very well. Anyways, the bottom line is that what Grant Morrison was trying to accomplish, and what he was trying to say, is that he's using comics to create a code of ethics for these superhero beings that are going to be arriving any day now, or evolving any day now. And when I read Final Crisis, that's exactly what I saw he was trying to accomplish. I figure that he thinks the New Gods are his representation of the new heroes that are going to be coming. And so with Final Crisis, he was trying to show a book of rules to play by, what could really happen if things spiral out of control in regard to these superpowers. So there were cheesy moments, blah blah blah, apocalypse, blah blah blah, I have to tell her I love her, and it turns out she already loves him, and blah, you know, it's so cheesy, I love you so much, don't die Green Arrow, don't do this, and just, yeah, I got sillier and sillier, but I understand what he's trying to accomplish, and I think the Final Crisis was a lot better than the Batman RIP. Now the weirdest thing is, okay, so the other thing that happened in Batman RIP that was funny was that Batman actually shot a gun for the first time, and then he dies. So I'm like, is this kind of like karmic retribution, Grant? Are you trying to say something? But then, of course, the final issue is he didn't really die. He's in a cave somewhere, and he's like drawing on a wall. So is he going to be trapped in this world forever? I don't know. Because the weirdest thing, this is so bizarre, what they've done is they've canceled Nightwing and Robin and Birds of Prey. They're going to take a 3-month hiatus, and then they're going to come back with two more Bat books. So, like, it's crazy. It's crazy. Who knows what's going to happen? Anyways, that was your show on the death of Batman. He died. He came back. It wasn't that big of a deal. You're going to be listening to some more music in just a second. You're listening to CGLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, and it's really dry in this room. That's why I'm coughing so much. We're going to play some Wesley Willis for you, because he whooped Batman's ass. And, I think I made somebody a little too excited about that.
I saw him live.
Oh, really? Wow. Lonesome Stranger saw him live. Can't beat that. He's an amazing guy, and he whooped Batman's ass. I mean, how much more amazing can you get? Anyways, next week, I'm going to have an interview with Pat McEwen. He's a fantastic illustrator. He is so, so good. And I actually promised that I would use the word legendary every time I said his name, the legendary Pat McEwen. He's been around a long time. He's been doing stuff with Dave Cooper. He did stuff with Vice Magazine. He did stuff on Grendel. He did stuff everywhere. He's so good. Zombie World. He did lots of awesome stuff. You should check him out if you can. And then after that, we'll have next week, the week after that, interview with Rick Trembles. And also stay tuned for my opinions on The Watchmen, if you're at all curious. Because I'm pretty curious how this movie's going to turn out. I'm a little worried, more than I was when I first heard about it. But it's okay now. We'll see. We'll see. Anyway, CGLO 1690 AM. Stay tuned for Lonesome Stranger. Here's some Wesley Willis. Enjoy the sunny, sunny, sunny day.
Batman got on my nerves. He was running me amok. He ridiculed me, calling me a bum. I whooped Batman's ass. I whooped Batman's ass. thought he was bad. He was a fucking asshole in the first place. He got knocked to the floor. I whooped Batman's ass. 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 Batman beat the hell out of me and knocked me to the floor. I got back up and knocked him to the floor. He was being such a jagoff. I whooped Batman's ass. I whooped Batman's ass. I whooped Batman's ass. I whooped Batman's ass. I whooped. Rock over London, rock on Chicago. Wheaties represent champions.